This gospel of the multiplication of loaves and fishes is one of two occasions when our Lord fed the vast crowds that had followed him. And behind this miracle of feeding comes the belief that God is a God of providence. The first reading reminds us that God does provide for his people, not so much what they want, but what they need. Our wants can multiply. In fact, sometimes our wants exceed our ability to provide. But God isn't here for our wants, but for our needs, body and then soul. And providence is something we all struggle with. Do we trust God enough? Do we trust him with our families, our work, our health, and our future? The word providence is interesting. The verb is videre, videre, or vision. God looks to the future and sees what we need. We are fixed in time. We can't see the future. Somewhat like the old horses pulling the cart. They had blinkers on them so they couldn't see to the side and be distracted. We have fixed blinkers. We're fixed in time. We can't see the future. We often dwell upon the past and sometimes with lamentation, but the future awaits us at each passing second. But next year, 10 years, we can't see ahead, but God does. God's an eternal time, and he, being Father to us all as children, provides for our needs. On this occasion, the people had followed him. He knew they were with him. He also knew he was going to feed them. So he challenges the apostles, go and get some food for yourself. Why bring this complaint to me? What he's saying really is, I need your participation. I need to work through you to provide for my God, my people. I need to work through the bishops and the priests and St. Vincent de Paul and other groups to provide for my people today. We are the hands of Christ. We are his voice. So he's teaching his apostles, I need to work with you and through you to bring grace and well-being to my people. So he gathers the fish and the loaves. In other accounts we read that it was Andrew who comes back with the fish and the loaves. And the numbers are important. He makes them all sit down. That's a good reason why as a family at home, we make the children sit down at the table to eat. That's what Jesus taught. And while seated, we can then eat properly. And they ate all that they needed. And what was left over was 12 baskets full. Of course, our Lord is not merely feeding their bodies, but reminding us he's come to feed our souls. Within a few years, he'd give that famous discourse at the synagogue in Capernaum about how he would come to feed us spiritually. You hunger for bread, he says, I am the bread of life. You hunger and thirst for eternity, I am that gift. I can feed your soul. I can nourish you spiritually. So this event leads to that. And the symbolic numbers are important. There's two fish and five loaves. Two fish because the fish reminds us that Christ is twofold in his nature, divine and human, God and man. The five loaves, the five wounds that he would bear within his body as he gave life to us. And of course, this teaching would spread far and wide by the 12 apostles. As the 12 baskets gathered all that remained, Christ would send these gathered 12 to spread his word and nourish God's people throughout the world, as they did, and still do today through our bishops. We want to trust in God, and at difficult times we doubt whether he's there, what he's doing, why did this happen, what's going to happen, and sometimes fear can freeze us into making the wrong decision. Trust your future to the Lord. Look at the psalm response. The hands of the Lord feed us. He answers all our needs. He is our Father, but he wants us to trust in him on a daily basis, knowing that he will provide for the future. Time will lead unto eternity. Time cannot but become eternal. As water will eventually go into a waterfall, and every drop in that fall was once in the stream, so too we are moving towards eternal time. We are moving towards, please God, heaven, and that time on earth is to prepare us for that glorious event of heaven. And every moment we have on earth is in a way forming and fashioning how we shall spend eternity with God. See, as Lewis once said, that our whole time here on earth is to write the title page of our story in eternity, and how true that is. Or perhaps we can look at heaven as a kingdom, and we shall have a dwelling there, a place of domain. Well, every day, every moment is a brick we're forming to provide for that edifice, that domain that shall await us. And the final shape of that is determined by how we live today. How much we make of the moments God gives us. How often we turn to Him in prayer and trust in His ways. Of course, if we don't pray, if we don't connect, if we don't think that God is with us, and therefore we do hesitate, worry, fret, become anxious and sometimes depressed regarding issues, relationships and problems that become seemingly insurmountable. But God sees all. He says, trust, trust, trust in me. Don't trust in other people, they'll let you down, but I see the big picture. I have created you. I want you to be with me there. Do you trust me now? Until then? And it's a big ask. It's a hard ask, because, as I said, we just don't see the big picture, and we become fearful. We become afraid. We need to know that God sees our bodies and our souls, and preparing those souls, our souls, for eternity, He wants to give us spiritual life. He does that first and foremostly through the holy sacraments, in particular the Eucharist. But He also wants to help us to know Him through prayer. One person who was extraordinary in her prayer was Mary of the Cross MacKillop. Her feast day is coming up next week, our first Aussie saint, who once passed through this part of Australia. She trusted in God's providence. For food for her nuns, for convents to be established, and also the governing of her order, which, as you recall, she was removed from. All will come to pass. She let go, let God. He knows what's going to happen. I don't. And in spite of people persecuting her and calumnies and hatred from even some of her own nuns, she didn't give up. She kept on going. She lived, one might say, in that big vision, knowing that God is a Father. He will provide for us. And hence her devotion to St. Joseph, the foster father of the Church. Well, another person who lived much in the eternal time was St. John Vianney. He died in 1859 in his 70s at a little town called Ars in France. He's the patron saint of all parish priests. And he was very much a man connected to the spiritual world. He could predict people's future. He could see, God was giving glimpses, insights into people's, what would happen to them. He was very much a man completely trusting in God. And at the end of his life, he would spend something like 12, 15 hours in the confessional, and people would be queued up for days waiting to go to confession to him because they knew he was a saint. He was so holy. At times he'd pop out of the confessional and call someone from the back of the queue, "You come up here now." And he would say to the person in confession, "You have to go to confession now because you're going home. Your mother's dying. Go now." Or, "I wanted to see you because you have a vocation." Or, "You're not meant to marry this person, but not the person down the road." In other words, God gave him insights, just flashes into people's lives so that they wouldn't worry, so that he could help them trust and not to become anxious. So he was a man very much with one foot here and one foot there. Time and eternity, for him, almost became one moment. We don't have that gift. We just have to plod along. But we plod along in prayer, trusting in God, asking the saints to inspire us, never to lose heart, never to lose sight of the big picture, and that God is a Father of providence. Praise to Jesus Christ.